Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Looking back on our lives, I think all of us have memorable regrets. Most of mine are related to the topic I have today. You could use it as a title. The outward mindset. The outward mindset. A little more than 20 years ago, I had a student in a lower-level geometry class named Tyler. The class was designed for students like him who previously struggled some in math. Tyler, though, seemed to like the way I taught. Not all the students did. But he found some early success in the class, and it seemed to motivate him. He decided that he liked geometry and became a top student in that class of mine that year. More than that, though, he was quite personable. He was a friendly student. He sat near my desk and would frequently engage me in conversations that really didn't have anything to do about geometry, which was a little unusual for me because I was usually somewhat aloof with my students, and I tried to keep things more professional and just talk about math-related topics. Sometimes our conversations were overheard by a nearby student, a girl with strawberry blonde hair, who would occasionally join in. Nice girl. She'll have some relevance to this message a little later. A year, or maybe it was 2 years later, there was an article in the local Statesman Journal newspaper at that time that described a bad car accident in which one of the passengers was hospitalized with some very serious injuries. It was Tyler. It was now his senior year in high school, and his injuries forced him to miss a lot of his classes, a lot of school, and he missed his high school graduation. Toward the middle of the summer that year, I received a note in the mail by which I learned that Tyler had recovered enough from his injuries to make up his missing schoolwork and finally gain the credits that he needed to graduate. Included in the note was a card inviting me to a special graduation ceremony and celebration that was planned for Tyler. It had a phone number request for an RSVP. So happened that the event was scheduled for the afternoon on the exact same day as the last day of Northwest Preteen Camp that was being held that year at Suttle Lake. And some ways I wanted to go, but in other ways, well, it really wasn't that convenient. So I called the RSVP number, and I explained this to Tyler's mother and that I would not be able to attend. She sounded disappointed because she was hearing the same sort of thing from a few others that had been invited. The timing was inconvenient. It was in the middle of the week. Some people had summer jobs. Some were on vacation. If there's any way you can make it, if you can leave camp early and get back in time, feel free to come, she said. Tyler would love to have you there. Yeah, okay, well, if that happens, I'll try to be there. Turned out that the preteen camp did finish early enough that day that if I left right away, if I was efficient, if I changed quickly, saved unpacking from camp for later, I might be able to make it in time for Tyler's party, his celebration. But by the time I got home, I was tired, and I felt more like slowly unpacking than quickly cleaning up and going to a graduation party. And since I wasn't really expected to be there anyway, it was more convenient. It was kind of a convenient excuse for me just to stay home, which is what I did. I made a decision based on what might be called an inward mindset, an inward as opposed to an outward mindset. There happens to be a book, in fact, titled The Outward Mindset. Actually, the full title is The Outward Mindset, Seen Beyond Ourselves, How to Change Lives and Transform Organizations. It's written by an organization called the Arbinger Institute, and it's written as sort of a novel, underused strategy for business owners, leaders, managers, and anyone who wants to improve themselves professionally and personally. To paraphrase one section of the book, it says, when we focus outward, we see others as we see ourselves. We see both our needs and their needs and realize how they're interconnected. This broadens our perspective. When we see others as people like us, we also want to help them and make a positive impact on their lives, fostering stronger relationships built on empathy, trust, and mutual understanding. Inward and outward mindsets are not about personality types. It's not about being an introvert or an extrovert. It's all about perspective. It's about how we see ourselves relative to others. It's interesting to note that a few months back, our UCG president, John Elliott, wrote something similar and kind of related to this in one of his home office updates. He talked about selfishness and selflessness. And he wrote, a mindset focused onto sacrificing the self in service to others is a divine quality entrenched in agape. By this we know love, or agape, because Jesus laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He was referring to 1 John 3:16. He continues, while it's easy to recite these words, doing them as he, Jesus, did, is quite a challenge for us human beings with our self-focus. We strive for a fulfilling life through personal development, opportunity seeking, goal setting, and achievement. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I'm kind of putting that in. It's good to set personal goals for ourselves. However, as Mr. Elliott continues, this normal human mindset sets us up as independent goal seekers who occasionally encounter obstacles to our achievements. Invariably, some obstacles to our achievements are other achievers themselves. Like in any sport or racing event, the problem with reaching the goal are the other participants, other people. Again, going back to the Outer Mindset book, part of its premise, and again, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, is that when we focus inward on our own needs and our own goals, we perceive other people as objects or just a means to our own ends. More specifically, we may, number one, use others like tools as a means to achieve our goals, or two, blame others as obstacles for obstructing our goals, or three, ignore others as an inconvenience because they seem irrelevant to our goals. Use people, blame them, or ignore them. Tools, obstacles, or inconveniences. For me, because I was focusing inward, Tyler's party was an inconvenience that I ignored because it was irrelevant to my goal of resting up and taking it easy after camp. A day or two after Tyler's graduation party, there was a human interest article in the local Statesman Journal newspaper. Might even have been on the front page, if I remember right. Apparently, a reporter wanted to do a follow-up story about Tyler and his recovery from the car accident, an accident that nearly killed him. The article revisited the accident and then described a very small celebration in a park, or maybe it was a park-like setting, during which an assistant principal from Sprague High School gave Tyler his diploma. A few months later, I talked with that principal or assistant principal. She said it was kind of sad. It was sad that so few people were there because it looked like they had planned for a lot more to attend. And there were no teachers there. She was the only staff member from the school to attend. There were a few family members and a girl with strawberry blonde hair. But that was about it. I felt bad for Tyler, and I should have been there. I got to thinking about how he must have felt. He's still recovering from an accident that nearly killed him. He missed a lot of school. He missed graduating with his class. There's a party for him. He invites people that he feels a connection to, including at least one teacher, and they don't show up. I could and should have been there. I could have been an encourager. I could have showed him that I cared and that he was someone important to me. It was an opportunity to let my Christian light shine, and I blew it. I guess you could say I blew it out. Brings to mind James 4:17 and the sin of omission. We can sin by doing the wrong thing, but we can also sin by not doing the right thing. James 4:17 says simply, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." As I mentioned earlier, I have a number of regrets in my life. I regret buying a brand new Harley-Davidson motorcycle when I was 22. Some of you might find that hard to believe that I did that. It was just a foolish, immature decision. I spent a lot of money on something that I had no practical need of. And after a few close calls and almost getting hit by other vehicles, including a train on one occasion, I wisely sold the motorcycle, even though it was at a big loss. Ed knows something about that. Sold it to his brother. Yeah, I sold it as a loss. It didn't bother me. That's fine. And even though it only had a few hundred miles on it, but it probably increased and improved my chances of life expectancy. Buying the motorcycle, however, was one of my lesser regrets. My big regrets are situations like the one with Tyler. A few years ago, maybe it's about 10 years ago now, I think I was downtown, and I kind of randomly ran into the daughter of a church member from way back who was kind of like a big sister to me in my early days in church. I remember even going to the feast at a foreign location. I was there with her family. But I ran into her daughter, and they were attending a different fellowship of Church of God. And I asked, "Well, how's your mother doing?" And she said, "Not well. She's in the hospital." And wow, Bruce, if you could go in and see her, that would really help. That would really cheer her up. I thought, yeah, I mean, I'm downtown. Yeah, I could. Well, I got this list of things to do. It not real convenient today. Maybe sometime when it's a little more convenient. Well, by the time it was more convenient, she died. My big regrets are the ones in which I made self-centered decisions that did not consider the needs and the feelings of other people. It was a decision I made from an inward and not an outward mindset. It's those decisions that I regret the most. Decisions where I could have made somebody feel better, but I didn't. Times when I should have shown some kindness or patience, but I didn't. All of which seemed like inconveniences that were, at that time, irrelevant to my concerns. Times when I could and should have seen life through the eyes of the other person. There's another book that talks a lot about the concept of the outward mindset, but doesn't ever use that term. It's, of course, the Bible. Because an outward mindset is simply a different way of summing up and describing one of the most fundamental of all Christian principles. Love your neighbor as yourself. That exact phrase happens to come up in the Bible 8 different times that I could find. Many of you will remember Mr. Herbert Armstrong would sometimes sum it up a little differently. He'd say, it's the way of give rather than the way of get. Matthew 7:12 says much the same thing in still a little different way. Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Don't think inward, think outward as well. Or maybe I should say, don't just think inward, think outward as well. For this is the law and the prophets. And the Bible goes far beyond that general instruction. It also gives a number of specific instructions, and it details many qualities and characteristics of a person with an outward mindset. And we can go through a few of them. We could start in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, because empathy is a part of the outward mindset. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body, speaking of the church. I'm going to skip to verse 25. That there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's number one, empathy. Empathy is a key to the outward mindset. We try to feel what other people are feeling. To know what they're feeling, we have to interact with them. We have to reach out to them. We have to develop and nurture relationships with them. Even those of us who are introverts, we have to resist scrolling on our phones and interact directly with people. Psalm 15, we could notice other outward mindset traits, but I want to focus and point out just one that's stated in the middle of verse 4. In my Bible, Psalm 15 comes with the heading, the character of those who may dwell with the Lord. And Psalm 15:4 reads, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. And here comes the focus. Here's my focal point. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. People who keep their word and do what they're committed to, what they've committed themselves to do, even when a better personal opportunity comes along and presents itself. Even if it means causing oneself personal difficulties. Even when it's inconvenient, that's an outward mindset. We keep our word no matter what. I guess that'd be a second thing. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, the famous love chapter, we notice that a person with an outward mindset has, you could say number three, no ulterior motives. No ulterior motives. An outward mindset is more than just doing the right thing. It's doing the right thing for the right reason. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and accomplish great things, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, make a great show of generosity, and though I give my body to be burned, and perhaps submit to great physical pain, but have not love, if it's not for the right reason, if it's not for the benefit of somebody else, it profits me nothing. People with an outward mindset don't just do the right thing. They do the right thing for the right reasons. Their motivation is outward. They don't expect anything in return for their efforts. They don't use people as tools to further their own goals. A person with an outward mindset has no ulterior motives. With verse 4 now, we begin a long list of additional, I think I counted 16 different character traits. So if you're taking notes and numbering them, I don't know, maybe you ought to just say the rest of the points are in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love suffers long, even when it's inconvenient. And love is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself. It's not like a politician who might do a good deed for a photo op. It's not puffed up. It's not at all arrogant. Does not behave rudely. Doesn't engage in insults. Does not seek its own. It's unselfish. Not provoked. Not easily offended. Thinks no evil. Or doesn't keep any account of evil. Doesn't hold a grudge. But gives people the benefit of the doubt. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. In other words, has a positive attitude. Isn't a grump. And endures all things. Again, all of this could be summed up by asking ourselves, are we thinking outwardly or inwardly? In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul reinforces what we've already covered, and it adds a few other things to consider. Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Again, don't use others as a means to achieve your own goals. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Be humble. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And again, before you can look out for the interests of others, you have to know what those interests are. You have to engage with them. People. You have to engage with them at more than just a superficial level. Do we try to see life through their eyes? One of the things that has really helped me when I teach and when I substitute teach is simply showing some interest or trying to notice little things that the students themselves are interested in. I tell myself to think outwardly. I'll be walking around the room, and the kids are supposed to be working on their math problems. And so I'm looking over their shoulders, and there's a girl, and she's not doing her math problems. She's doing this artwork. Oh, and it's pretty good. Oh, you must really like to draw. Yes, I do. Oh, are you taking art classes? Yes, I'm in Mrs. Maddie's drawing class. Oh, wow, well, that's really good. Suppose it might be time for you to get your math work out and start working on it. Yeah, I suppose I should. And, wow, it's a better way of handling it than, hey, you're not doing your math. Now get your math out and start working on that. I learned some of these things a little too late in my career. Galatians 6, verse 2, Paul gives us a brief but related passage to consider. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do we take the time to find out what those burdens are that other people are carrying? What are they bearing? Especially with people who might be a challenge for us to deal with. Maybe we find some people a challenge because of the burdens they are bearing. With an outward mindset, we're interested in the needs, the goals, the challenges, and the burdens that are being carried by others. And as we're able, we should be willing to help carry them. Luke 6:27, Jesus says to love even our enemies. Do we view our enemies with an outward mindset? That could be kind of tough. Let's go to Luke 6, but we'll start in verse 31. Luke 6:31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those to whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Give of ourselves, and your reward will be great. Thinking outwards has great rewards. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. If God is kind and merciful to people who are bad or challenging, then we should be also. Now, we talk of having an outward mindset, and when we do, I want to be sure that we don't confuse being introspective with an inward mindset, because at some point, having an outward mindset also means being introspective, looking at yourself. At some point, we've got to do that. It means examining one's own character, and sometimes we do have to look inwardly, examine ourselves in order to better connect outwardly with others. And that's what we're trying to do today. Turn to Galatians 5:13, which was one of those eight different passages with the instruction, love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, one precept, actually. The law is fulfilled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For me now, the outward mindset is my way of concisely summarizing all the specific aspects related to God's general instruction that we love our neighbors as ourselves. It's also a prod. It's a prod to help me recognize my opportunities to put this instruction into practice. And I use a catchphrase question. Am I thinking outwardly or am I thinking inwardly? Am I thinking out to the other person's perspective or only into my own? It's a simple way of reminding myself to do the right thing for the right reason. The inward mindset is easier. It takes less effort. But it leads to regret. The outward mindset can be more difficult. It takes more effort, but it leads to great rewards, both now and in the future. Love your neighbor as yourself. Choose an outward mindset.